It is good again to be in the Lord's house again this morning. I can honestly say that I don't believe there's any other place I'd rather be other than be with the Lord. But by now at least we can gather together and have a presence of God, have Him in the midst of us if we want Him. Amen. He says, where two or three gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. And I'm glad we have that opportunity that He might be in the midst of us this morning. I'm in the book of Acts this morning. If you'll turn with me with your Bible, book of Acts, chapter number 2. I say again, the book of Acts and chapter number 2. I preached a message almost identical to this one on the radio the other day, but there's just been a real tug on my heart as of late, especially just seeing the things that's come up these past few weeks. It's really continued to touch and tug on my heart concerning this. Book of Acts, chapter number 2, verse number 1. The Bible says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. Father, this morning I want to pray and ask you, Lord, that you might move in the midst of us. I do pray and ask you, Lord, that you touch and help us this morning. Lord, that your will be accomplished. And I pray and ask you, Lord, that you might take control. Use your word as you would see fit. I pray and ask you also, Lord, that you might touch hearts and help us, Lord, that we might be drawn closer to thee. And Father, I do pray and ask you, Lord, that you might encourage our hearts. Lord, that we might be effectual, fervent witnesses unto the Christ of heaven. Lord, that which was given out on Calvary might go forth from our lips. Lord, as a testimony of thy actions, Father, I pray and ask you, Lord, you please do these things which we cannot do for ourselves. May you be pleased in what's said and done. And Father, we'll certainly thank you and praise you for all that you do. For it is in Jesus Christ's name we pray this morning. Amen. The other week, I preached a message on the radio concerning, do we want revival? And I addressed a couple different things, and yet some different things have come up in these past few days, past week or so, that it just kind of, I didn't really touch on, and I probably should have. We tend to want to walk in the door of the church house and have a conversation about everything else in the world. And I'm not talking about coming in and asking how somebody's holiday or week went. I'm not talking about just asking how somebody's doing or how they're feeling. Or I'm really wanting to get into the concept or get that in your mind that we walk in the door and we bring forth everything that's happened in the world. We want to conversate about everything that's happening right now in the world, and we want to invite the world into the church house. And then we want to sit down and sit in a pew and act like everything is all right and act like we're so super spiritual. And yet whenever we do these things, then we're wondering why God doesn't move in the service. It kind of hurts me a little bit. When we come in the church house on a Sunday morning or Wednesday evening or even a Sunday night, and our conversation, as soon as we walk in the door, goes straight to the ball game. Or straight to somebody's Christmas party. Or straight to something that's completely off the wall. There's no real concern for the people of God in the house of God anymore. And there's not any concern for the people of God. And there's not any real concern for the spiritual being of the house of God. And there's no real concern in that manner within the house of God. How are we going to have a concern of a spiritual matter or spiritual sense when we walk out the door or we have asked a prayer for our family or loved ones or asked for God to move in our family or loved ones? I mean, I've seen some things this week that really, really, really irk me. And I'm not talking about it really makes me mad, but it hurts me spiritually. All these people putting things all over the internet, all over their houses, all over signs and everything. Happy birthday, Jesus! If that's all you got, then you need to really think about where we're at in this day, where you are spiritually, amen? Because guess what? He went to the cross of Calvary, gave himself, he's died, was raised again the third day. That's where we ought to be looking. Now, I understand and know here in this day that we chose this time of year to acknowledge the birth of Christ. And we ought to acknowledge the birth of Christ. But whenever that becomes the main focus in your spiritual life, that Christ was born, there's a problem. The main focus ought to be on what He has accomplished out on Calvary. Because we've gotten into a trend or tradition or whatnot that Christmas is so exploded. It's an exploded. That's all we can talk about. Christmas, 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 Christmas. And even now, it's still blown up. There's 364 days till Christmas. And we ought to be more concerned with a testimony of what He did out on Calvary. And yet, whenever that time of year comes around, here we are, sitting on a pew, ho-hum, just twiddling our thumbs. He gave Himself out on Calvary, a willing sacrifice that we might have life and have it more abundantly, that we can be reconciled unto the Father, and yet here we are just twiddling our thumbs. That doesn't excite you, but yet the birth of Christ does? Lord, help us. I'm not trying to rail on anybody, but that hurts me spiritually. If it hurts me spiritually, it hurts my heart. I know in myself that it has to hurt the church. Because it puts us in a place where we're not really focusing on what we ought to do and how we ought to act and how we ought to portray Christ. I understand and know we ought to be thankful for the birth of Christ. We really should. And we ought to acknowledge it. We ought to exalt Him for who He is and what He is. He's the Christ. He's God in flesh. Born of a virgin. We ought to praise His name that He saw fit to send us a sacrifice on our behalf. It's a willing sacrifice. But when that becomes your main focus in life, and that if that becomes the main center of your so-called spirituality, that the birth of Christ is what saved you, there's a problem. Not only that, we tend to get our eyes and focus on just the Christmas that He was born, but then again, whenever that happens, all the focus tenses, what are we going to get? I mean, I know it's been said before, many a time, you know, if it's Christ's birthday, why are we getting the gifts? I mean, I could care less if I even got anything. I mean, I'm thankful for the Christmas card and things like that. But a lot of times it's empty. If you're gonna at least come talk to somebody, or if you want to spread around a little bit of cheer, have some kind of heart about it. If you're gonna walk up and say, "Hey, Merry Christmas, brother. I appreciate you. I love you in the Lord. I just want to let you know that I appreciate and I love you." Amen. I think that does a little bit more than if somebody just passing out an empty Christmas card. Now, I'm not getting on people for passing out Christmas cards. Don't look at it that way. But I'm just saying, in general, we tend to get wrapped up in all these traditions. Hey, go knock on somebody's door on these holiday times. There's plenty of shut-ins. I mean, I know we went and sung Christmas carols up there at the nursing home. Went down there at the Yatkin house, had a little bit of time, but we're more concerned about what we can do with a little itty-bitty card or something like that. Look what I did. I gave out this many cards. I touched so many people. I did so many things for different people. I got this gift right here. All it does is turns around and speeds that flesh. Look what I did. So it goes from Jesus was born. Oh, look what I did. See, there's a little path that tends to be happening around this time of year. And every year it tends to get a little bit dimmer and a little bit dimmer off of Christ. And all that focus tends to be focused and turned more towards the world and everything that's in the world. Every year it gets worse and worse and worse and worse. And it begins really at the home, but it also begins at the church. And I was telling Brother Todd earlier, I really didn't feel like this was Christmas. And it ain't because of the weather. mean, yeah, it's 70 degrees outside. Don't feel like it's that time of year, but this is supposed to be a time of year where we rejoice in the fact that God sent His Son and was born in this time of year. I mean, granted, it may not even been in this time of year, but this time of year we acknowledge that. But all I got from everybody, literally everybody, was, what do y'all want to do? What are we going to do? How about we just sit down and pray a little while? How about we just sit down and have a little meal together and pray and seek God? How about we just sit down and read a little bit of the Christmas story, how God came into this world? How about we do that? I mean, it's getting so bad in this world today, even in Christmas plays, in churches, and in schools, and things like that, that they're taking the entire, anything that's dealing with Jesus Christ, and this time of year, they're taking it completely out and substituting in some kind of worldly mess. And here we are just... I need a revival again. I don't know about you, but I desire that revival. I desire that God to move in and really touch us and help us in a spiritual manner. But it's not going to happen if we're all considering the world and focusing in on all these things that's going on in the world and in our hearts. It's just completely dulled us. What we need... Verse number 1 here says, they were all with one accord in one place. In other words, if we're going to come in here and really seek God and really seek that God move in and touch our prayers and touch our hearts, we need to be in one accord and one mindset. That's where it's going. If we really have a desire... I mean, let's look at that here in another sense. Look at the latter part of chapter 2. Verse number 47. Praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord added to the church daily as such should be saved. Or as such as should be saved. You want your family members, your loved ones to come into the church house? Or you want your loved ones to have a heartbrokenness about their condition? We need to be able to be of one mind and one accord when we come into the church house, that this worldly mass is not going to come in with us, that we're going to come in seeking God, and we're going to come in exalting one another and encouraging one another and praying for one another and loving one another as we ought to. That's the only way anything is ever going to be accomplished as a church family, as a church body. And granted, some of us pray at home. And some prayers are answered. But in every instance I've ever, I mean ever, seen the power of God truly fall. And I mean truly, heartfelt. I mean some strong power of God I've never experienced anywhere else. The only time that's ever happened is whenever a group of people, a group of saved, born-again believers, get together in one mindset, one accord, seeking God, a desire in their hearts for God to move in the service, and sure enough, God show up. But if we come in here in the morning or in the afternoon, whenever the service is, if we come in here all ho-hum in our hearts, and we're not really desiring in our hearts that God move, and we've got our minds on everything in the world, like old little Johnny is out and such doing so many things, and I don't know what to do about it. Why don't you just hand it over to God? Let God handle it. Or I've got so many bills, I don't know what to do. I've got to go to work this week, I don't know what to do. I've got so many things that's pounding on my head, and I can't focus, I can't think on God. Really? You expect God to move in your heart and your home, and yet you come in bringing those things in, not seeking Him? When you really need to think about how we're performing in, as a church. And I don't mean performing as an act of an amusement, but I'm talking about performances. We need to be able to say we pray daily, we read our Bibles daily, we seek Him daily. We do what we must to help others and portray Christ in our testimony. If we're not doing these things, if we're not doing this as a church body, if we're not doing it at home, and hey, it starts at home. It really does.
You know, because I understand and know that God instituted the home first. According to what I see, have read in the Bible, God instituted the home first. Amen. Amen? So guess what? All that's going to start at the home. Amen? If it ain't happening at home, it ain't going to happen at church. And guess what? I fail. I fail every single day. I fail to pick up my Bible like I ought to. I just about read my Bible more at work than I do at home. That's pretty bad. I'm not telling you that just to bring you down, but I'm telling you, hey, I need your prayers. We tend to get too busy at home, or we tend to get too busy in all these worldly things that we cannot and will not be one accord at home, and we cannot and will not, if you're not in one accord at home, be one accord at church. We must be one accord. We must be in like-minded fellowship, and we must be in a like-minded state of mind that we can focus on the Word of God, that we might be helped and we might seek His face. I have a desire in my heart that He move. I mean, I encourage you, if you have an opportunity this year, every year we try to go to a couple of different meetings, and knowing what God has done in the past. Not because it's not here, or not because it's or who's there, but because I know God has moved there in the past, and I know God has a number of people there that has a strong desire for God to move, and I want to be in the midst of it. I want that here. I really do. You know, I don't even have to worry about setting an alarm clock half the time to wake up on a Sunday morning, because it's just in me to get up and come on. It's in my nature. I desire to be with the people of God. I desire that God might move and touch and heal and save sinners. I have a desire in my heart to help people. I don't know why. It's not in my fleshly nature. God put it there. We need to have that same accord and like-mindedness right here. Do we want revival in the church house this year? I mean, here we are. We're at a new year. I mean, look what God has already done in this church. We've expanded. And I'm talking about the church body. I'm not talking about the building. But we've expanded the church. Look how many young ones we have now in the church compared to 4 or 5 years ago. Look how many members there are in the church now that compared to 4 or 5 years ago. Look what God has done in these past few years. Now is not the time to kind of sit down and take a break. Now is the time whenever we ought to jump up and get to it. You know, right now is a time of year. I've noticed that there's been an increase in gossip. Every year around holidays or big events or something like, there's always, oh, did you see what happened? All that does is put a wedge in the church. When people get to talking about every other thing in the world, talking about what happened with little Susie or little Johnny or whatever, there's always a wedge that tends to get wedged in there, and then we wonder why God don't move. You know, the thing about it is also, we tend to push people away too. You ever thought about that? You ever thought about how we do tend to push people away? Sometimes we get a little overzealous. I believe preacher would agree with me on that. Sometimes we tend to be a little overzealous. Telling people how they ought to dress. Telling people how they ought to act. They're not even in the church house, not a part of the body of Christ, and yet we're telling them how they ought to live and do and think, and they're not even saved. Whenever a person's born again and saved, you won't have to tell them. Amen? You won't have to instill certain things in them. God's going to do that. When in the world did a child ever have to chastise his siblings or her siblings? Tell me that. And yet I've seen it time and time again. People come in looking for God, and then somebody say something, run their mouth about something, and it just pushes them right back out the door. Well, why didn't they come back? All that does is hurt the church and put a wedge in things, and God's not going to move in it. I desire some revival in this church. Not only in this church, but in my home and in my heart. I desire that to happen this coming year. We're running out of time for these things to come about. The storm clouds are brewing. Amen? I can see it on the horizon. Darkness is all the darkness in the world, it seems to be just pulling and congregating and getting stronger and worse and swirling. How many of you have ever stood on a beach and watched the storm off the shore and just seen it swirling and getting darker and darker and heavier and heavier, and the wind and the rain and everything start to come in and the waves and everything start to roll? How many of you have stood there and seen that happen? I can understand and know that. I mean, this is just a figurative thing. But I can see that happening today in the church house. And the only one to be able to calm the storm, the only one that's able to say, peace, be still, is Jesus Christ. And if we're pushing Him out the door, if we're bringing the world in and pushing Him out, that storm will overtake us. Amen. And this ship that we're in, hey, if that storm overtakes us, we're going to sink. Amen. And the only one that can lift us up out of the waves is Jesus Christ. That's why I said over in the Laodicean church age there in Revelation chapter 3, says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Hey, he's not dead. He's not gone away. He's coming again. He gave us that promise. He says, if I go away, I will come again and bring you unto myself. He is coming again. And yet we sit on the church pew and act like He's not. He died. He gave Himself on the cross, was raised up again on the third day, ascended into heaven to the right hand of the Father. And yet we're more concerned with His birth. We tend to look back instead of looking forward. We tend to look at things that happened back there when we could be and should be looking at things that could happen ahead. Well, God didn't move there. Did you ever think that may have been a failure on your part to pray and to seek God and things like that that we should have? That's the reason why God didn't move? You know, I've heard it said many and many times over and over and over again. I can't believe God will allow so many horrible things to happen to people. Like these floods and earthquakes and things like that. We know, I mean, I'm taking an example. We know it's been proven scientifically. And I don't mean that we should trust in science. I'm just saying it's been proven already that there's a San Andreas fault running up and down California. And yet, why would God allow us to have an earthquake? Why would God allow these horrible things? Well, you built there. You knew it was there. Why would you be concerned about an earthquake and blaming God for what you did? Just like a river, we automatically know and understand the weather is going to change. There's going to be some heavy rain days. There's going to be some dry days. But when you put your house next to the river and the heavy rain that comes, which it's going to, and it floods out, runs you out of your house, takes your home away, and then we're going, why would God allow that? See, that's what's going on in a church house in this day. We understand and know that there's a flood coming, and that there's a storm coming, and here we are on the riverside, continuing to build on the riverside, thinking that everything's going to be all right, and when we ought to be building on a stern and hard foundation. Because we automatically know the storm's going to wash away near the river. We need to be focused on where we're building. Okay? Our children depend on this. This next generation, if God is ever to move and God is ever going to touch and help them, we need to make sure that the church and its people are grounded on a firm foundation. The only foundation that we have that we can possibly even depend on. And when I say we possibly, it's going to depend on whether or not we adhere to it. Adhere to the Word of God. Adhere to His commandments. Seek Him as we should. That's the possibility there. It's within us to be obedient if we'll seek Him and stay in His Word. and walk in His Word. Okay? But the only way that's going to happen is if we are obedient and build our homes and our church and our activities and our life. Everything is to be built upon that foundation. If we truly desire that revival, if we truly desire that God move in us and in our church and in our homes, we need to be grounded on a foundation that will not wash away. I understand and know sometimes you, and I want to relate this. If you think about this in the right sense, you know, we've got people today that depend upon these new world versions and new translations and things like that, where the Word of God has been altered, changed. And I'm not going to go into how it is or isn't. I mean, you find out for yourself. Do the research. I'm not your teacher. I'm not your mama. But when things are added to or taken away from them and people are depending on that as their foundation, you can relate that to people building upon that San Andreas fault line, or people building upon them right on the riverbank and wonder why their foundation's washed away or why their houses are crumbling. We got to think about how things are constructed. You know, I love watching little kiddie movies with my wife and my daughter sometimes. Just, I understand. I don't say that in a way that you look down on me, but you know, that's the generation of the world we live in. I like doing these little number movies or whatever, and that way, you know, Hannah's so smart. I'm glad we have some things that we can learn from and things like that. But whenever we start substituting those things that we can learn from and pull from with things like what's down here in the movie theater right now, or what's come on the TV, we need to really think about where we're pulling from, what we're building from. Mom and daddies, if you have children, you ought to think about what they're watching, what they're bringing in. Because that's part of their foundation. What they're built upon, what they're going to stand upon. That's going to build their mind up. That's going to form their opinions. That's going to form their entire outlook on everybody. You ever think about why people have such a downward or froward or outlook on the church? You ever thought about that? Why people frown, especially at the Baptist church? You ever think we're a little critical? Or we tend to come out a little more critical overly towards other people? And we tend to drive them away? And when that happens, instead of somebody coming back, I shouldn't have said that, or I shouldn't have done that, I apologize. You really think that foundation right there we've set ourselves on is going to be a foundation that people are going to look at and say, that's going to be a firm foundation that's not going to wash away? And then we're going to come in here and say, I want God to move? Lord, help us. We need to have our thoughts on what God has accomplished out on Calvary. You know, God sent His Son, gave Himself a willing sacrifice. We need to look at that and acknowledge that in a daily walk. That's why the Bible says that you must take up your cross daily. We need to acknowledge those things that Christ has done out on Calvary every day. Acknowledge the glory of God every day, if we are to have God to move, if we are to have that revival we so seek. I mean, I seek it. I really do. I mean, Danny, you've been up there at Brother Jenkins' meetings and seen the power of God move. You've been up there and seen the power of God move in Brother Milby's meetings, and it's not because of Brother Milby or Brother Jenkins. It's because there was a body of people who had an earnest desire for God to move. And the focus of the meeting, the focus, entire focus of everybody inside that meeting, in that congregation, that entire focus was that God would move and bring revival. Not one time did I ever hear anybody talk about a ball game or what little Johnny or little Susie did out on the ball field or what they've got or what they don't have or woe is me. I understand and know sometimes we hurt when we come in the church house. I understand and know that. I promise you, I know that. Sometimes we ought to be coming in. I mean, think about it. That we make glory in our infirmities. If you come in the door, oh, woe is me. And I'm not saying you ought not ask for prayer. But what I'm saying is we ought to come in here with a heart focused on God, regardless of whether we're hurting or having an ailment on us. I understand and know that. We're going to. We're in the body. But the thing about it is, if you're going to come in here all pooch-lipped with your bottom lip dragging the ground, so to speak, oh, woe is me, you're not helping the service. You're not helping in any kind of way helping God. And I don't want you to think that I don't want to know about somebody's ailments or heartache or hurt. I do. I want to pray. I want to pray for you. But when that becomes the focus of your entire time here, and you're not able to focus on what God is doing and what God has done in His Word and what's going on up here behind the pulpit and the singing, if you can't get with it and rejoice with it, it's not doing you any good and it's not doing anyone else any good. And I'm not saying you ought to stay home, but I'm saying you ought to really think about your circumstances. I know I've come in here so many times before, I literally felt like my knee was about to blow out, but not a single person, other than I might limp around a little bit, but not a single person here knew it. There's sometimes I'll come home and I'll feel like, I literally look as though I've got a marble sticking out of the side of my kneecap. And I'm not trying to glorify myself, but I'm just saying not a person in here would know it other than a little limp. I come in, I want God to move. I want you to want God to move. I want that desire to be in you and upon you. You got a heartache or a desire, an ailment or affliction? I'll pray for you. I will. I want to get in with it. But I desire God to move more. I desire God to save sinners. We're running out of time. Amen. God's going to be back. He might be back this afternoon. He might not even let me finish this here today. But I'm just saying we ought to be looking to His coming, looking into His glory, looking into what God is doing. We ought to rejoice in that, have an earnest desire that God move in us and help us. That's the only way we're ever going to get any help. Not only that, not only focus on the glory, but we ought to focus on His gift. God brought forth a salvation message when He gave Himself out on Calvary. And guess what? That gift is to all people, all who may believe. Am I right? Is that not what the Bible says? The Bible also says that all won't receive, won't hear. But the thing about it is, we've got a gift of life, a gift of salvation. And we ought to want to go out and scream it to the world and tell people what God has did out on Calvary. And let them know that God gave Himself a willing sacrifice that we might have life and have it more abundantly. That ought to be a focus. Whether I have my mind on God of heaven, have mind on the God of glory, the God's glory, and God's gift. Amen. And His gift, that right there, that gift to all people, all nations. How many of you can also say that you've told somebody about Jesus Christ and what He's done for you in this past week? Honestly, and I'm not wanting you to raise your hands. Within yourself, how many has actually told people about what Jesus Christ did out on Calvary? This week. How about this past month? If it's real in you, if you have that gift, if you've received that gift of life, don't be stingy with it. Tell people. Amen. You want God to move? You want God to help? You want revival in this church? Tell what God's done. He's not going to move if you're not telling people about Him. If you're not glorifying Him. So if you're not focused on God, if you're not focused on His glory, what He's accomplished, if you're not focused on what He's given, God's not going to move. Simple as that. I understand and know too, we have a lot of loved ones that's not here this morning. They might be out in the world, they might be sinning, or I don't know.
I just know I have loved ones I'd like to see walk in that door one day. And the only way that may ever happen is if they see Christ in me and they see an earnest desire for me or within me that God would move on my heart and in my home and in my family. That's the only way God will ever move and bring revival. I encourage you this coming week, think about some different things in your life, how you might affect people, how you might treat people, how you might talk to people. Do you desire revival in your house, in your church? Guess what? If it happens at your house, it happens in your church, it's going to go with you to the workplace, to the shopping centers, wherever you go. It's going to happen. I want you to desire it. I want you to want it. I want you to have an earnest desire to seek Him that He might move and bring forth a real, true revival in the church house today. How is it in your mind? You going to look for Him this morning? You look for Him to move and help us? Because He can and He will if you want Him. He's knocking at the door. Question is, are you going to open the door to Him? Amen. Father, this morning I want to thank You, Lord, for Your Word. I pray and ask You, Lord, You help us, dear God, to seek revival in the house of God. Help us, dear God, that we might focus on You. Lord, that we might glory in our infirmities. Lord, that You've allowed us, Lord, to go through trials and tribulations. And Lord, that it's You that brings us through them all. I pray and ask You, Father, this morning, You please, Lord, help us, Lord, to have a heart for lost sinners. Help us, dear Father, I pray, Lord, that You bring forth a revival into this place. Lord, fill this place with Your power and Your Spirit, dear God. I pray, Lord, this morning, that if there's anyone here, Lord, that has never been born again, never been birthed into the family of God, I pray, dear Father, Lord, You bring forth fruit, Lord, bring them into the house and family of God. Birth them, I pray, Father. Show them what they are. Draw them unto Yourself as only You can. I pray, Father, this morning, Lord, that You get glory and honor in all things possible, Lord, that we might say and do, Lord, that it may honor Thee. I pray, Father, You touch the singing. Touch our pastor, Lord, this morning, Lord, that he might, Lord, bring forth a message, or Lord, that he might moderate this meeting, Lord, whatever is done, Lord, that honor and glorify Thee. And Father, I want to thank You again for touching and helping. Father, we'll thank You again, for it is in Jesus Christ's name we do pray this morning. Amen.